I'm Phil DeLuca. Happy spring, everybody. We are Commanderin.
Commanderin.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second preview week of the Shadows Over Innistrad spoiler season. We skipped a few days, so this will be a catch-up of all the cards that have relevance to Commander. If you disagree, let us know at cast@commanderinmtg.com. Also, our contest is still on, so be sure to enter it by noon Pacific time on Friday, the 25th of March. Check out episode 38 for all the information. Finally, if you like the show, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/commanderinmtg. All we need is a buck a show to give you even more fun sounds to put in your ear holes. Okay, now to the cards. We'll start with the colorless cards and lead off with an artifact, Corrupted Tombstone. So far published only in Japanese, so the name might change, but 2 generic mana for an artifact, Corrupted Tombstone, enters the battlefield tapped. Tap it. Choose a card in your graveyard. Add 1 mana of that card's color to your mana pool. So remember, folks, if there's only colorless cards in your graveyard, say because you cracked a fetch land or an artifact that gets you mana, then this will not generate any mana for you. At 2 mana, it comes in tapped, so you have to wait. It's really no better than a 3 mana rock, and certainly is inferior to a Felwar stone. So I might pick up a couple of Felwar stones if I were interested in playing this. Our next card is a land, Westvale Abbey. It has 3 abilities. Tap, add 1 colorless to your mana pool. For 5 and tap, pay 1 life. Put a 1/1 white and black human cleric creature token onto the battlefield. 5 mana and a life for a 1/1. I am not really into this so far, but there's the third ability. 5, tap, sacrifice 5 creatures. Shadowbone Apostles, anybody? Transform Westvale Abbey, then untap it. What's the transform side? It's a black card. So this card, to be clear, has a black and colorless color identities. You must be playing a commander with black in its color identity. The card is Ormondal, Profane Prince, a legendary creature demon. No, it cannot be your commander because Westvale Abbey is not a legendary creature. This is a 9/7 demon that has flying, lifelink, indestructible, and haste. Ooh-wee. That's a powerful card. Our next card is Drownyard Temple. This is ultimately what Nahiri has been up to. Tap. Add 1 colorless to your mana pool. For 3 mana, return Drownyard Temple from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. This is a great landfall trigger. If only we had recently had a set with landfall triggers. So now all we have to do is get this into the graveyard. Does anybody know a way to sacrifice lands? Let's think about it. Our next card is actually representative of an entire cycle. The card is named Port Town. It's a land, it's a rare cycle, and it says, as Port Town enters the battlefield, you may reveal a plains or island card from your hand. If you don't, Port Town enters the battlefield tapped. And of course you can tap it to add white or blue to your mana pool. There's already a lot of controversy about what to call this cycle of cards. Some people are calling them hand lands, some people are calling them show lands. It's really simple, folks. They're reveal lands. You are revealing a card from your hand. Guess what these cards should be called? Reveal lands. If anybody disagrees with you, it is perfectly okay to stab them with a sharpened pitchfork or maybe set them on fire. Now we start cards that have actual colors on them. Nahiri's Machinations. 1 and a white. It's an enchantment. At the beginning of combat on your turn, target creature you control gains indestructible until end of turn. That's pretty good. It complements the sieges rather well, but wait, there's more. For one and a red, Nahiri's machinations deals one damage to target blocking creature.
Sorin, I'm going to take everything from you.
Nahiri's mad. Don't make Nahiri mad. She has swords. She can make swords from stones. Don't do that. Not advised. Maybe Sorin should have answered her call. Send that one to voicemail, did you, Sorin? I bet you're sorry. And yes, for the record, it's machinations. Our next card is Thalia's Lieutenant. One and a white. Creature, human soldier. When Thalia's Lieutenant enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each other human you control. Whenever another human enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Thalia's Lieutenant. Starts as a 1/1, but gets tough really fast. This is a lot like Champion of Lambhold. That's always a fun card, with a Cathar's Crusade stapled on it. Differences, of course, but pretty nice. Our next card was released only in Korean. Eternal Vigil. For one and white-white, you get an enchantment. Non-token creatures you control gain +1/+1 and vigilance. This card is basically intangible virtue, but for non-tokens. Let's move on to blue cards. We start with Engulf the Shore. For three and a blue, an instant. Return to their owner's hands all creatures with toughness less than or equal to the number of islands you control. That's pretty good. Do we know any creatures in any recent sets that have large values for toughness? I don't know. This artwork depicts a wave with a shadowy tentacle behind it. Could it be the return of Marit Lage? Our next card is Welcome to the Fold. For two and blue-blue, a sorcery, gain control of target creature if its toughness is two or less. It has Madness X blue-blue. Madness, of course, is the cost you can pay if you are discarding that card for any reason. Gain control of target creature if its toughness is two or less. If Welcome to the Fold's Madness cost was paid, instead, gain control of that creature if its toughness is X or less. A permanent change in control that is not vulnerable to enchantment removal. This isn't bad. It remains to be seen if it's of any value, but in something like Mizzix, where you're not paying that X cost and X is usually pretty large, this seems like an auto-include. Our next card is Confirmar Sospechas. Or, in English, Confirm Suspicions. For three and blue-blue, it's an instant counter-target spell. But wait, there's more. That's expensive. So there must be more. Oh yeah, investigate three times. Of course, investigate is the mechanic where you put a clue token into play that has, for two generic mana, sacrifice it and draw a card. I know a certain person whose Twitter handle might rhyme with @Charles_MOR more, who is interested in assembling a deck with lots of clues in it. He'll have all the clues, and then he'll use them to win. It's going to be ugly. Our next card is Manic Scribe. For one and a blue, a creature human wizard. When Manic Scribe enters the battlefield, each opponent puts the top three cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. Okay, good for mill strategies. Oh, it's a 0/3 as well. But it has Delirium. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, if there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard, that player puts the top three cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. Wonderful. Global Mill. I can probably find a home for that in a couple of decks. Mimeoplasm. And it might be that Lazav has a new friend. We'll see. Our next card is a double-faced card. Daring Sleuth. For one and a blue, you get a creature human rogue. 2/1. When you sacrifice a clue, transform Daring Sleuth. And the other face is Bearer of Overwhelming Truths. A creature human wizard. 3/2. Has prowess. Whenever Bearer of Overwhelming Truths deals combat damage to a player, investigate! Oh, so you're getting clues. You use a clue to transform him, but then you get clues every time it causes damage. We like that card. Let's move on to the black cards. We'll start with Diagraph Colossus. For two and a blue, you get a 2/2 creature zombie giant. That's not a very big giant. Diagraph Colossus enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it for each zombie card in your graveyard. Whenever you cast a zombie spell, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield tapped. This thing is a mid to late game monster. Absolute monster. Actually, this thing is a monster even in the early game, because you're casting a lot of zombie. Of course, you're playing it in a zombie deck, but you're casting a lot of zombie spells, getting free zombies, because who doesn't like a zombie? And then maybe when it dies later on, you could bring it back, because you're reanimating. After all, you're playing zombies, and then it comes back with a lot of counters on it, and then smashes face. It has spikes and everything all over it. It's great. I'm looking forward to playing that. I fear my co-host Nate's zombie deck, Grim Grin. I fear it. It will have Diagraph Colossus in it and will beat face even harder. Maybe even Kalidas. Our next card is Behold the Beyond for 5 and black black, a sorcery, a mythic rare. Discard your hand, search your library for 3 cards and put those cards into your hand, then shuffle your library. Okay, for 7 mana you get 3 cards. That's just lovely. And of course, you're discarding your hand, and so you either wait until your hand is full of cards you don't care about, or maybe it's empty because of, hey, madness. You do your best, you discard your hand. Oh, I discarded 0 cards. I think I'll just tutor for 3. Thanks. You better win the next turn, though. Let's go to the red cards. Sin Prodder. For 2 and a red, you get a 3/2 creature devil. It has menace. At the beginning of your upkeep, reveal the top card of your library. Any opponent may have you put that card into your graveyard. Player choice. I don't know if this is any good. If a player does, Sin Prodder deals damage to that player equal to that card's converted mana cost. Otherwise, put that card into your hand. Hey, look at that. It's important to note this is not a draw effect. And even though it does give your opponent a choice, then, you know, it's too bad you lose the card, but at least they're taking some damage. This'll pay off with big mana cards, right? Cards with a huge casting cost. But if you pull your Demonic Tutor, let's say, or a Blood Artist or something else that's low in converted mana cost, it's not gonna go well for you. Our next card is, I've always pronounced this Gibbering Fiend. 1 and a red, you get a 2/1 creature devil. When Gibbering Fiend enters the battlefield, it deals 1 damage to each opponent. Delirium, at the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, if there are 4 or more card types among cards in your graveyard, Gibbering Fiend deals 1 damage to that player. A minor, very minor leak. Only if you are playing a lot of these effects and you just want to compound the damage would you bother to put this in there. It'll work well with damage doublers and other things, but this card, it's appealing, but it's probably your 99th card in a deck that focuses on this sort of damage. Our next card is Burn From Within. This too is only published in Japanese, so the name may change. For X and a red, you get a sorcery. Burn From Within deals X damage to target creature or player. If a creature is dealt damage this way, it loses indestructible until end of turn. If that creature would die this turn, exile it instead. This is a lot of effort to go to exile a creature, but red doesn't have very many answers like this. It's pretty good. The art shows some vampire clad in tattered robes. It looks a lot like Sorin, actually, but kind of incinerating. So, I don't know. Should we root for Sorin or should we root for Nuhiri? Sorin didn't pick up the call. We're moving on to the green cards. Deathcap Cultivator. For 1 and a green, tap, add black or green to your mana pool. I can think of quite a few decks that like that, but wait, Delirium, Deathcap Cultivator has Death Touch. As long as there are 4 or more card types among cards in your graveyard, this is a wonderful little defender. You only need to be holding a few black or green instants that you drop at the end of your opponent's turn for this to be worthwhile. Our next card is Obsessive Skinner for 1 and a green. This is kind of a creepy card, folks, so if there are any kids nearby, you might want to shoo them. Obsessive Skinner is a creature, 1/1 human rogue. When Obsessive Skinner enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. It has Delirium. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, if there are 4 or more card types among cards in your graveyard, Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. Hello, Mazurek. Hello, Marin. Hello, Mimeoplasm. All sorts of wonderful self-milling going on. There's Dredge. Mm-hmm. We like it. Our next card was previewed by the Command Zone. Way to go, Josh and Jimmy. This might be the best card you have ever previewed. Second Harvest. For 2 and green, you get an instant. For each token you control, put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of that permanent. For each token, not creature. So all those clues get doubled. Charles, stay calm. All of the other tokens that you've created, maybe you have King Makar because you're playing some kind of weird black-green deck that uses Inspired. Anyway, lots of fun with this one. This is going to be a complete blowout. If you're playing blue and already have a bunch of tokens and you've maybe played a Clone Legion, this is an incredible bomb. The next card is a Clue Enabler, Ulvenwald Mysteries. For 2 and a green, you get an enchantment. Whenever a non-token creature you control dies, investigate. Whenever you sacrifice a clue, put a 1/1 white human soldier creature token onto the battlefield. Why, hello. Okay, I'll do all that. Our next card is Tireless Tracker for 2 and a green. A creature, human scout 3/2. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, investigate. Mm-hmm. I guess I just couldn't say landfall. It's a different set after all. Whenever you sacrifice a clue, put a +1/+1 counter on Tireless Tracker. Okay, I'll do that too. Tireless Tracker seems to be the same character on Ulvenwald Mysteries, or at least someone who belongs to the same order. It's hard to tell if they're both males or both females. Now to the gold cards, our last two cards. This one made me giggle a little bit when I saw it. It's the Invocation of Saint Traft. For 1, a white and a blue, an enchantment aura, enchant creature. Enchanted creature has, whenever this creature attacks, put a 4/4 white angel creature token with flying onto the battlefield tapped and attacking. Exile that token at end of combat. Yes, you can make your very own Geist of Saint Traft. In case you didn't pick it up when it was first printed, or you didn't pick up Blessed vs. Cursed, the dual decks, now all you need to do is pick up a few packs of this set, and you might get an Invocation of Saint Traft. This is a bomb, just like Geist is, only you could put it on something with a better body than Geist has. Our last card is Sorin, Grim Nemesis, a Planeswalker for 4 and a white-black. It's a Planeswalker Sorin. It enters the battlefield with 6 loyalty counters on it. For +1, you reveal the top card of your library and put that card into your hand. Each opponent loses life equal to its converted mana cost. Owie! It's the best part of Dark Confidant, only you don't pay the price. You make your opponents each pay that price. For minus X, Sorin, Grim Nemesis deals X damage to target creature or planeswalker, and you gain X life. Mm-hmm. Exsanguinate, here I come. Its ultimate ability is a -9. Put a number of 1/1 black vampire knight creature tokens with lifelink onto the battlefield, equal to the highest life total among all players. Oh, so beautiful. If that ultimate ever comes off, and you're not controlling Sorin, you better have a board wipe. That is a lovely card. By the way, Nate pointed out that there is a knight tribal sub-theme in this set. So, we may see a knight tribal deck out of Nate before too long. Those are the cards for today. Let us know if you agree or disagree with us by writing to cass@commanderandmtg.com. Don't forget to tell your friends to listen to us and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or wherever it is you found us. Leave comments. We love to hear from you. And channeling Sean for a little bit here. That's our show.
Go Mandarin!